Hello, this is going to be the A and B version of Dollhouse. I'm Barbara.
I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk about Dollhouse. Yay! You will have to bear with us. This is my very first podcast, and I believe it's yours as well.
Yes, it is.
All right, and it's also a complicated one, but we are crazy enough to take the challenge. So we are on Dollhouse Episode 1, Ghost. And I'm about to send you the synopsis. And if you could read that, that would be cool. If it'll let me, there we go. There's the synopsis. I'll just read part of it. And this is episode 1, Ghost. Echo is one of the several actives in the elite and illegal criminal organization known as the Dollhouse, which is run by the shady international entrepreneur Adele DeWitt. Through different personality downloads, Echo plays the role of a love-struck girl on a romantic weekend and then a ruthlessly efficient kidnapping negotiator when... But then it goes wrong. Ah. And then the wealthy client hires Dollhouse to look for his missing daughter. And with the help of her handler, Boyd Langdon, and programmed by tech specialist Topher Brink, Echo goes out to rescue the girl, but her memory imprints cause some complications. Meanwhile, FBI agent Paul Ballard is struggling with his assignment to uncover information on the Dollhouse. The chase has destroyed his marriage and is wrecking his career when both his superiors and colleagues refuse to believe in its existence, but it doesn't seem that he'll stop until he uncovers the truth. And just figured it helps since we're just jumping into this. It gets a bit complicated at times with the first episode especially, but... Anyway, it's one of my first things. I think one of the things that really set the tone for it is the first, like, words that are said in the show is nothing is as it seems. And I think that's really significant.
I agree, because it really isn't as it seems. And I feel like they kind of show that well. If you will, when they show her first with the guy on the motorcycle, and then later, she's like, oh, let me go in this van and get a treatment. And then she goes and becomes like a badass.
Yeah, it's crazy how much they can change people so quickly. So first off, we also, I think it's... interesting, yeah, like how far they've come to be able to do everything they do at the Dollhouse with changing the personality. And also, like, for them, it's real. Like, when she was babbling on about how much she feels about Matt and everything. And but one thing, it's not just about that. They also, they want to help people.
Right. Like, when she's rescuing the little girl from the kidnapping, she's starting to kind of freak out because she sees this guy that she's supposed to have been kidnapped by before.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if that, like, really, like, was maybe, like, was it a mixed-up memory or something? They did say it was based on a real person. And then she ended up killing herself, which, good job with that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it's supposed to be, a real memory.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think they're using some parts of a person that was kidnapped by him. And then it's kind of like a self-rescue mission.
Mm-hmm. and
in a way, like, she was kidnapped, so to speak. But they're tweaking the memories of the person that left or got out of the kidnapper and killed herself.
And one thing, is we meet a whole bunch of characters, so I think maybe we should get into them. Is first we meet Caroline, and she's being manipulated by Adele DeWitt, who is the head of the company. And something interesting I think Caroline says is, can you ever really be, like, can a slate ever be clean? You know, also, like, meaning also, of course, the personality. And yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think for you people out there, it becomes a big theme. I think later can, you know, like, the personality ever really be gone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we meet Adele DeWitt, and she seems very controlling and just seems more concerned about everything else. Like, being, like, she has to be in control and it has to be in order.
Yeah. She's definitely very controlling, very much so wanting everything to be just sort of perfect, I guess, and no flaws, and she seems really strong at this point, like she's sort of strong throughout the whole thing, but she's also fighting the head of security already.
Yeah, they're both, like, they're both very strong.
Yeah.
And then we meet Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He's a main person. And do you think it's just because of the marriage that he is so focused on this, or why do you think he's so focused on the dollhouse?
I think they want him to be focused. Like, he just seems obsessed with it a little. Like, I don't know why he's so focused on it. Well, yeah.
And it is true, he did say, you know, if it really wasn't true, like, you know, basically saying they would have taken me off of it already. But he seems to go more than that, getting in all the trouble in the process. And I wonder, it's like one of the things we talked about in psychology, is like the harder you work for something, the more you have to see it through, you know, like, no matter what the cost. Like, even if it's something terrible, because, like, then it's, you know, all for nothing kind of thing.
Yeah. Probably partially that, and partially, like, he's curious. It'd be a really crazy thing to have happen, to have people wandering around that you don't even know, and they could have a imprint on them of a different personality than who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he said it's like murder. And let's get into the ethics bit. I think that was a good segue, Amy. Is, do you think that it's, like, worth everything? Because on the good side of the coin, good side and bad side. I almost knocked over my lamp. We're doing the good side and the bad side. The good side is, you know, they do try and help people. Like, they did give that guy a great weekend. And I don't know exactly why he needed it, why he couldn't find his own... you know, like, one-night stand. I mean, obviously, it looks like with the big party, he has money and the motorcycle, and he's definitely not ugly, but he obviously had a good weekend with Echo, or whatever her imprint was, and then they do try and help people, like the kidnapped little girl, and we see other, like, they do good, but then is it worth everything else? Is taking people away, even if they are volunteering, and then, you know, their lives are, well, 5 years of their life is being taken away from them, and they're not in control at all of what they do, and they're forced to shower together and then do things that they would never do, and
I don't know, I feel like Caroline's was kind of forced. Like,
it's true. She said, like, I don't really have a choice, and then they Adele DeWitt says, you know, actions have consequences, so obviously she did something.
Right. I just feel like they kind of pushed her to do it, so I don't know about them choosing to do it, but I do kind of agree with Paul that it's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're taking away their own personal personality. And yes, it's good to help them and to help people and to do stuff like solving the kidnapping, because that girl probably wouldn't have lived.
Mm-hmm.
And if she had, she probably would have been scarred for life and manipulated and all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
It is. It is. And then one thing I thought was interesting is how they go about it. And I think, like, for the people that are listening, it'll be good to have them understand it. I think they did good for the episode, but just that the scans are from real people. And I think, like, with the whole, like, nearsightedness thing, that was a good thing. But I think it's interesting that they didn't go and just try and make a perfect person, but that they do have people with flaws.
Right.
Even though it obviously didn't work out too good with this one, with her ending up, you know, being freaked out and the dad getting shot and the kidnapping negotiations almost going wrong. But I think that's interesting.
Yeah, because one of her flaws was the asthma, and so she goes into attack because the kidnapper basically triggered it from an old memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then another thing, we're just going to bounce back and forth, but with the ethics thing is obviously it's not painless. Like, you remember seeing how Sierra was, we meet Sierra for the first time.
Right.
And, you know, like, she's screaming, she's freaking out. And so that obviously was really bad, but then also it's not much later. And then, you know, she's running around with the guns and is, like,
picking open doors and,
yeah, like, and, she, like, you're supposed to wait. We had a shot.
Yeah.
And then, let's go into, I think, back to Paul, is he's very rough and is not just like, let's do this the right way, but he's pulling a gun on the Russian dude.
He doesn't have much ethics either.
Yeah.
He's like, bam, let me hold a gun to your head and tell you say the and word I need dollhouse.
And I need to find out what you need to know.
Like, okay, whatever, dollhouse. What are you talking about?
And, like, I'm going to find out what you need to know, or my finger might pull this trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And something interesting is that some of them still do think it's a joke, the dollhouse, and yet, I guess, I mean, they're kind of, like, fighting with Paul, but you think, I wonder why they felt that strongly about it, because, I mean, like, it was this big meeting, and they're all talking to him about it. They think they wouldn't take it maybe to higher ups and be like, look, why are we still investigating this?
Yeah. Especially because he's like, well, they wouldn't have me still be on it for this long if they didn't think it was real or if it wasn't real. And they're like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, and I just wonder, like, how much of it, many people, like, do think it maybe is possible or not. Because, I mean, they did say, like, something about a connection or something, like, possibly with, you know, like, girls being trafficked or something like that. So I don't know.
I don't know. Good question, because I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole trafficking thing could be possible with the show.
Yeah. It definitely is.
It'd be an easy way to
get bodies.
Get sort of guinea pig, so to speak.
Yeah. And obviously,
in the beginning,
for those of you who haven't seen it, we will see later where, like, the main core come from. But for a lot of the other actors, we don't see where they come from.
Yeah.
Like, they're supposed to be volunteers, but meh. You'll see later on how that goes.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to, like, talk about also was, like, back with the clients, is you wonder why the father of the kidnapped girl, as he said, you know, they said he's worked with the dollhouse before. They don't say what for, but that he's done business with them, so you think he would know what a good job, like, that they do, but then just when he sees Echo, then suddenly he's all freaked out and doubts it a lot. And do you think it's just because of its daughter, or is it really Echo, or?
I don't know. I think they maybe, like, messed up there when they were making the show, because I would think, like you said, he would know how good of a job they do with the amount that he's probably paying for it to be done.
$5 million. Oh no, yeah. That was for the kidnappers. We don't know how much it is for the dollhouse, of
right.
course. Yeah, but I'm guessing it's a lot, and they said there's risk involved, so that means they have to pay more. And then I wonder maybe if the dollhouse maybe kind of did mess up before or something with how he does doubt, or I don't know, because I mean, they obviously messed up this time.
Yeah.
It's
or maybe
shot.
It is just because it's his daughter and this lady's, like, taking some crazy new tact on.
Yeah, it is. Like, it'll be $8 million. And he's like, what? Okay,
yeah.
No, he's done better than that. He's like, you should have asked.
Yeah.
And then she hangs up on them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she's not exactly taking the normal approach.
Yeah.
For finding a kidnapper, which is probably why it works, is because if you just go la-di-da, we're the FBI, okay, let's do this the normal way, they're expecting that. The kidnappers are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy's kind of like, what? You're just gonna tell me and tell them and tell everybody what to do?
Yeah.
And they're gonna call you by whatever name you tell them to call you, and
yeah, but supposedly it worked. Like for, I guess it possibly did for the real person. They said, didn't they? They say she handled almost like 30 negotiations or something like that, or at least it was at least over a dozen, I believe.
Yes, it was quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is also, I think he didn't come around until, like, he's like, I don't want to hear about how many successful ones you have. Why are you doing this?
Right.
The father.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for all the pressure and everything for you guys to know, as I'm a big psychology nerd, if it wasn't for all the pressure and, like, lives and the balance and everything, I'd be like, I want to do this. I want to try and figure out criminals and... But then, not really. I'd be like, no, yeah, I couldn't do it. I just had to say that. And then, we haven't talked about Boyd any, but I know how we talked about him, and we talked about DeWitt, and I just want to compare them two, is she's very in control and everything else, but at the end of the day, with his help, it's what gets the job done, and he's the one that seems to care.
Not only does he seem to care, but he kind of doesn't care if everything's in
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't seem to care if she goes a little bit off of
the plan.
Invisible supposed schedule or the plan or...
Yeah, because Adele, she was willing to just say, you know, like, we need to help the client, and they're about to put Echo back, and he's like, no. And I think what's interesting with that is also he does help get the job done, but then, and he seems to be the one that cares more, but he's the one that doesn't like the dollhouse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, with Topher... He's like, oh, it's like a dream or something. And he's like, whose dream?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it shows that, and we see later on that he doesn't like the dollhouse and he makes it known.
Yeah.
And what did you think of Topher's little running away speech?
What? Running away speech?
Yes. He says it's both. And, like, what do you think of Topher in general?
Oh. When he's, like, when Sierra's running on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, people are running away or they're running towards something.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're doing both.
I think he said, like, they're always doing both.
Yeah. He seems cold, like, really scientific and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does seem, you know, like,
and kind of like a numbers person. And
yeah, like, with Adele, like, you know, they're volunteers, so we can just do whatever with them.
Mm-hmm. They're dolls.
Yes, and of course, I think, he has been there longer, so that's probably why. And Boyd is new, they say. And also, he is an ex-cop.
Yeah.
So.
Has that mentality of...
Yeah. Where it's pretty safe to say that Topher has always just been a man of science and not as much a people person.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously, he doesn't get that genius way overnight.
Yeah.
If he did, that would be really scary.
That would be. Although, he could be a doll.
You never know. You never know.
They could have implanted him with some super science-y genius person.
Okay. I think we just about got it, except for the video that Paul gets sent.
Yeah,
and that's where we see Caroline. So Caroline is, it's Echo before she becomes the blank slate, before she's imprinted with other personalities. And then when she's not, that's when she's Echo, just to be clear. And I just think it's kind of interesting. It brings it back to the ethics again. She says, I want to do everything. I want to travel. I want to save the world. And I'm just having this random thought from, it was Once Upon a Time, and it mentioned, like the genie in the bottle is you get your wish, but it's usually not in the way that you want.
Right.
And that's a big thing with this, is she is getting to travel, and she is, in different ways, getting to help people, but at what cost?
Right.
So I just think that's interesting. And I really love the video. And we get to see the real Caroline. And she's...
Caroline. And she's... Caroline.
Yes. And she's very strong in her own person.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a cookie cutter. Just like, I'm going to be who I am. And I don't care what you think.
Right. She's not just like this la-di-da person.
Yeah.
That we see walking around the dollhouse.
Oh, I'm gonna go do art today.
Yes. I'm going to go get a massage now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. I'm just gonna wander into Topher's office.
And then one thing is, like, they're such a big corporation, and that one of the biggest things in foreshadowing is you'll see later people, ooh, but Alpha, it's on the piece of paper, and Adele seems really, like, worried about it, and she just, and you can tell she's upset by it. She kind of, like, slams it in the head of security into his hands, and it's like, how are we going to contain this? And it says Alpha, and you don't see one else, but it's got to be something pretty big to be able to shake her up.
Yes. Especially with the little eyes only on the bottom, so it's like they're not really supposed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
She's just supposed to show him the information, and he seems slightly concerned, too.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Alpha.
Yes. They know their control will not be for long. Is there anything else you want to say about the episode?
Not that I can think of.
Alright, I just have some quick things that won't take long, but just some really moments, and we might talk a little bit about it. I think you'll like it. And then one thing, like I said, was the van. Just, like, the huge vans going around, and, like, at the beginning with the mat thing, and nobody's like, what's going on?
They look like creeper vans.
Yes!
They're creeper vans! They're like, ooh, the kidnappy vans. You know, with the dark windows and the dark black van, and it's like this giant van where you could probably fit a bunch of people in the back.
One other thing is, like, well, this, a lot of it's going to be with the kidnappers. So I just thought, I found a few funny things within.
Uh-huh.
And one thing, like, the school teacher's gone for, like, 12 days, and they didn't question it more.
I never thought about it.
And nobody, I guess, tried to look for him. And I don't know. Like, I think they could have maybe found that something was up. Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know. But I doubt teachers get that much vacation off. They probably get a week. Unless he's been there a really long time. And then he maybe gets 2 weeks off. But I don't know.
It could be a vacation time.
Maybe.
Like summer. Or winter break or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he chose an interesting vacation.
I know. Let me kidnap my student and get some money for it.
And, yeah, then I thought it was, like, they let her inside and they don't immediately shoot her.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was pretty awesome. And then she's able to just, like, take them down. And even, like, he says it, and, like, he's like, do you really think, you know, you can get inside our heads and turn us against each other? And yet she still does.
Yeah. She doesn't really have to use anything.
Yeah. Well, she does say she's, the thing. That how he doesn't just kidnap them.
Yeah, she uses, like, psychological stuff, but she doesn't use, like, weapons or...
Like Sierra.
Yeah.
And another thing.
Fighting. I think, doesn't she, like, hold that guy down? The old guy that kidnapped her?
I think so.
Maybe she gets in their face a little bit, but she doesn't, like, come in with a big old gun and, like.
Break down the door.
Yeah. I'm gonna start shooting everybody, tell me where the girl is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then they locked her in the fridge. Was it in the fridge?
Yeah, it was in the refrigerator, because she's like, you would have taken out the shelves, and you would have had to tie it shut, because they don't have locks anymore.
For good reason.
Yep. Very good reason.
And then, I just think it's crazy at first, they just have all the money out on the table. I think they said they're counting it, but I'm just like, really? You're going to leave all that money out?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go answer the door.
Yeah. And you don't know, she could be lying. She could have, like, a whole SWAT team behind her. And
she did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just my really moments of it, and I think I got all of them. And then I have, this is my segment, it is, I'm taking, like, one of the actors and telling the weird, funny, or just, like, A lot of them are random funny ones that just have weird names that nobody knows about, like that these actors were in these shows or movies or anything like that. Or if it's like to one of my favorite shows, like Once Upon a Time or Psych or anything else. So for today, because she was, and I'm going to try and feature like one of the characters that's in the episode, and I'm going to, I have one, should be for every episode. And for Eliza Dushku, because she was, you know, it was all about Echo today. She is going to be in a voice for Hulk and the Agents of Smash. She's filming that now. Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. The Scribbler, Leap Year. Let's see, Robotomy, Herd Mentality. She was in a few video games. She was the voice of Ruby Malone in Wet, and then also she was in another video game, Saints Row 2. Yakuza. And also she was, one of my shows I like is, she was guest starred, and she was the voice for a character on King of the Hill. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Fishing with George. And Soul Survivors. And yeah, so some of them are kind of random. I just think a lot of them, like, the names are funny. So hopefully you guys like this segment and find it interesting, just that the different things these actors have been in. Alright. And how about quotes? Do you have a favorite quote?
I can't think of one for this episode.
Okay, I think mine was the father. Or no. It's Miss Eleanor Penn, and she says, "You heard the guy blink."
Oh yeah.
So that was my quote for it. And yeah. Then my favorite character and would be I think Boyd right now, because he seems that he really does want to help, even though he doesn't like the dollhouse and he's kind of stuck there. So for this episode, he's my favorite.
Yeah. I think he's a favorite character of mine, too, for this episode.
Okay.
I really like when the dad's talking to the daughter, though.
Mm-hmm.
On the phone before she gets kidnapped, and he's telling her, you know, I'll know that you've seen it. It'll be written, like, all over your face, like, no matter what, even in your sleep, I'll know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely are really close.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And he's just, I feel like he's just trying to be a really great dad. Like, he doesn't want her watching all the stuff that everybody else is watching, or...
Yeah. And then, okay, the character with the worst life, I think, is Sierra. Because suddenly, you know, she's taken in this dollhouse, she's shoved in a chair, and then she's, like, convulsing in pain. And then a bit later, she's, like, taken over, and then she's forced to be, like, this scary, like, bodyguard, or I don't know what type.
Beating up a person.
Yes, I can't.
Like, FBI, serious.
Yeah, and that she's not prepared to do, that she probably doesn't want to do, but, you know, she's being forced to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And then, do you have a worst character, or a character whose life, like, is the worst?
For this episode, I don't really like the head of security. And I think that's just because he's trying to stop everything. You know, he's trying to stop the mission, or...
You mean you don't like him, or that you think his life is terrible?
Oh, I don't like him.
Okay.
And Sierra's life is terrible.
All right, and that was about to get to what I was going to ask, like, who do you want to punch in the face or have feeling as violence towards? Gotta love that one.
Oh, that would be a spoiler.
Yeah, let's not get into that yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, Adele DeWitt is, like, pretty manipulative in the beginning, and I don't really like that.
Yeah.
And also, like, the guys with Paul is pretty harsh. I mean, I think he's trying. Like, obviously he's not going about it in the right way with all his offenses and obviously not going very well, but he's trying. Mm-hmm. And his marriage broke up because of it. Or safe to say it didn't help.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad for Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, are they, like, his boss?
Definitely, I think, like, some overseers at the least.
Yeah, they're,
he's calling him into a meeting.
Yeah. There, I guess, what he's doing, he's kind of having issues with his marriage. Well, got a divorce, but...
Yeah. That's issues.
Yeah.
So do you think maybe that is your... whose character is... whose life sucks the most?
I think so.
Okay.
Because everything's kind of against him at this point.
Yeah. And then he's got this whole new mystery, and who knows how that's going to turn out. And he got the video, and we don't know who yet.
Or how helpful it's going to be.
Yeah. We'll see, we'll see. And then ratings. My rating is 3 out of 5 creepy vans that nobody cares about or notices how creepy they are. So what number would you give this, and maybe, like, what kind of funny, like, label would you want to put to it?
Put to what?
How you like the episode. And if you don't, that's okay.
It wasn't, I don't know, I think it was a good intro to the whole thing.
It's very complicated.
It is. But I don't think I could rate it just by itself.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Oh, the very complicated dollhouse. So, we love the show, though, and we hope you guys do, too. And if you want to know more about us, you can find us on the A&B version of the Dollhouse podcast. You can search for that on Facebook, and also we do have a blog. And so let us know what you think, and hopefully next week we'll be a bit more organized. This one is the first one, so we're kind of all over the place, but we hope you guys liked it. Bye.